This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All right, we're just going to, a little bit awkward here with this laptop, but I'll try to work through it here. We have been going through a series, as you know, the character of Christ, and we're going to continue on that one. So I believe this is the last lesson for the Ephesian church age, and that how that ties into us as a stature of a perfect man into that foundation of faith. So we just felt in my heart to go into that a little bit more about the original sin because of how it ties to how the church pulled away from the word. And so we know that the original faith was the one that the Ephesian church age was established on. And so it was staying with the word of God, which Paul preached. And so when they started to get away from that, they got away from the original faith. And what got them away from the original faith? Well, the devil's scheme and his deceptive maneuvers pulled them away from that. And so I believe God has opened the curtain or removed the blinds or exposed the enemy by his word through the prophet. Now, the word of truth does not come to us just very easily, but it comes through revelation, and God's got to open our eyes to it. And so it takes the Spirit to enlighten our eyes. So just the word just doesn't do it. So we've got to get in the Spirit of Christ and then receive the Holy Ghost, and then God begins to open up these things for our eyes to see. So just teaching it helps us to focus our thoughts and our mind on what the word has said, but it takes the revelation of the Holy Ghost to make it real to our hearts. And so that, therefore, when it becomes real to our hearts, then when we face the enemy, the word comes to our mind and to our heart that we can, therefore, resist the enemy. So when it is in our mind, we can use it to a certain degree, but we will not truly have total victory unless it becomes a revelation to us. So we must have a revelation. And so as we go through this, we're showing how the devil works in the church. He works in the physical realm and through attributes, and how he used the woman. He used Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so we looked through different scriptures. We went through Proverbs chapter 5 and a little bit in Proverbs chapter 7. And so I want to, by God's grace, go through those a little bit further so that we can fully understand the devil's tricks. And so he is always trying to hide himself and be deceptive, hiding in dark corners. But God's word produces the light to expose those things. And so Satan hates to be exposed, though. So when we expose him, there's going to be a blowback. But if we are staying in the word of God, God is our protection, right? God is our shield. He's Jehovah Nisi for us. And so even though we go against Satan, then God provides protection. And then when we run through difficult times, it's because God allows those things for our training and for a purpose. And so we should never be afraid of the devil, but we should have courage as soldiers of the kingdom of God to take this sword to the enemy and to fight and to kill. We were born to kill demons. We are born to cut off their heads. And so we should not be afraid to stand up to the devil. Now, the devil works through people. Remember that the devil has to have an avenue that he must work through. And so he works through people. He works through animals. He works through different medias, etc. But he has to have something to work through. Brother Branham was talking about in the greatest battle ever fought that when he was in Arizona and he thought he was going to have to preach at different series of sermons at different places in the Phoenix, Arizona area. But for whatever reason, those things never were able to happen because, you know, there was another brother that was having meetings and he did not want to disturb that brother's meeting or have a competing meeting. Then he was going to preach in the afternoon, but there was something else going on. So he was very considerate about other people and not trying to cause a division and such. So he was out there with some other brothers and they were going around. But God was making it a very spiritual time for them. And a lot of things were revealed to them, although they weren't in several different meetings. He was not preaching in several different meetings, but he was with these brothers going around in the desert, and God was revealing things through dreams and providing deliverance to other brothers that were there. And he said it was a very spiritual time. And so he said one of the things that was stuck in my mind was that when he said he was in the desert, he was able to get away from the people. He was getting away from the spirits that are in the cities and different things. And that's when he talked about how the devil has to have some medium to work through. But when you're out there in the desert, when you're away, then God can many times open himself and reveal himself to you. And we know that the prophet, he went out to the desert by himself many different times, and God spoke to him. And the seals were revealed when he was in the desert. We know that. And God kept him out there, out the west. And through that time that he was out there, God revealed several different mysteries to him. And one of those was the mystery of the marriage and divorce. And so we know that he was on Finger Rock, and he was up there because he had received the revelation of the truth of it. But he also was in a dilemma, because if he brought that truth out, then what it would do to the people, and there would be divisions, and people perhaps would break up their marriages and different things. And so he was in a dilemma, and he cared so much about the people, and he did not want this to take place. And so we know that through that time at Finger Rock, where the amber cloud was going up and down, there were many people that saw what was happening. But on that Finger Rock is where God gave Brother Branham permission to, at the end of marriage and divorce, to provide grace for the people, if you all remember. And so that was that he would teach them what was right, but he said, never do it again, and teach your children never to do that. And so we ought to take this word and the same thing that he taught them at that time, because we know the word is eternal and is for us, to take those things and to learn from them and not live the same mistakes, but to take them and learn from what the prophet has told us and then teach them to our children. You know, I believe that our children, they're coming up, and sometimes we don't teach them enough of the word of God. And so, you know, they come to Sunday school, perhaps they come to service and different things, but we know that more of the teaching takes place when we spend time with them individually at home. And so if we have the benefit of being raised up in the ways of Christ as parents, then we ought to teach our children. Remember, to whom much has been given, much shall be required, as the scripture says. And so if we receive this truth of the hour at a young age, we ought to take those things in and to teach them, because to keep our children away from the things. Now, the children may depart away from those paths, but we've taught them, and they have those things in their mind. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and in the end, it will not depart from them. And Brother Bram talks about how the teaching that you've given them, it will not depart from them. Now, they may not live the life, but that teaching that they received, it's in their mind, it's in their heart, and when they depart from it, they know they're doing wrong, and they feel condemned about it. And so we have to do the part to impart that to whoever is under our charge. So if we're a parent, to give it under our charge. If we have those that we're influencing around us, we must be able to share that gospel of the kingdom of God so that they may benefit of it. And we know that the heart of Christ was to save. And so Jesus means Savior. And so the heart of a believer is to save that which was lost. And so not to, our desire is for no one to go and to fall, but to help them as much as we can. And so now as we're going through this, and I'm going to bring up the scriptures here, but we're talking about the traps of the devil. And so how he comes in a way to bring down the sons of God, but we also paralleled it how the devil is influencing and using the tool of the woman in the natural, but he's also using the church in the spiritual to provide the deception. And so we in the spiritual eye have to catch how he's using those same characteristics in the physical of the woman into the spiritual realm, because he's using the same tactics, the same cunning, the same subtlety as he does with a woman being used by the devil to attract the man, as he's using the church to bring down the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Because he says that the most deceptive thing or the biggest stumbling block is somebody that claims they're a Christian. And they dress a certain way, they talk a certain way, but they live a different kind of life. It's a stumbling block. You know, Brother Branham talks about how Elvis Presley, how he was a great stumbling block, and he was like Judas Iscariot because it was so deceptive, because he would sing beautiful songs of the gospel. And so people, young people, would be attracted to this. And so they would see that, oh, you know, he was a Pentecostal. Look at him sing those songs. And then he would use that, and then this man would do other things. And they say, well, you know, then they take the, they try to overlook some of the other things that he did. And so they would take it, and so they would mix the good with the bad, and so therefore corrupt. And so that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to use the good to attract, and then he mixes in these other things to make us corrupt. And so we've got to keep the Word of God pure and unadulterated, because when it's pure and adulterated, it retains the power of the Holy Ghost. But you see in the Scripture, in Timothy, it says there will be those in the last day, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, truce breakers, and all those different things. And he says, having a form of godliness but denying the power. And so we see in the Scriptures that there are many that had a form of godliness. They said they worshiped God, but they denied the power of the Holy Ghost. They denied the unadulterated Word of God. They rejected part of the Word of God. And so now we see that how this avenue that he works through, and we're going to kind of see how the Holy Ghost leads. But remember, the Proverbs talks about the strange woman. We talked about marriage and divorce, how the devil was using the woman as a tool and designing her for deceit, using the beauty and different things. And so this continues on and, you know, goes into the Scripture about this. And so we see here that, okay. So in Proverbs chapter 5, it talks about how Solomon is giving his wisdom to his son. And then we can look at it as, you know, us as parents imparting our wisdom to our children or to our son. And for specifically, Solomon is talking to his son. But we also can look at it as sons and daughters of God. But he says, attend unto my wisdom. And he's emphasizing about having discernment or discretion. And so remember in when we were going into the revelation of the church ages that Brother Branham was emphasizing to have the discernment of spirits. And we know that 1 John chapter 4 says, try the spirits whether they are of God. And so we are not fighting against people, we're fighting against spirits. But he says, regard discretion. And so discretion is wisdom and discernment to be able to tell what is right and wrong. And we know that as one of the pillars or the platforms as far as on the building of a stature of a perfect man, for us to have not only faith and virtue, but to have knowledge. And knowledge is knowledge of the Word of God that gives us understanding and discretion and discernment. And Brother Branham says, knowing how to judge right from wrong. And so all these things are part of who we need to be or what attributes we have to have, and so that we can be firmly established in the faith of the Word of God. Amen. God bless you, Brother John Durrett and his family. It's wonderful to see you all. What a pleasant surprise. But we need that discernment, and then if we're able to have that discernment, then we can withstand the Antichrist spirit. So now he says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil. And so this all ties back to how the devil works. And we know the serpent was a man who was slick. He talked very subtly. And so he says the lips of a strange woman operate in the same way, that it's very sly, cunning, and deceptive. And she can woo a man very easily by her seductive words. And the end is bitter as wormwood. So a man, if he's not careful, the beauty that's presented, he can look at it and say, wow, this is a nice person, and, you know, her big, beautiful eyes and different things, and be wooed by that and ignore the actual character and the conduct of how this woman is. And so he's warning us to not look at those things, but look at the character. And so we've got to have spiritual eyes, not natural eyes, because the natural will go towards that. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of hell. So the end of her ways are destruction. She will strip a man of honor, and he will it will consume his flesh and his body going down this path. And Proverbs explicitly goes down into this. And so we know that, you know, when this happens, when somebody goes down a wrong path, they have a regret. They said, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And so that's good that we learn things. But, you know, God's trying to give us instructions so we avoid those things ahead of time. Because we don't want to have a testimony that we have to go through all these different things. There's a teaching, and there's things that God has shown us through the message of the hour for us to avoid those things. And that's what we want our children to do, and we want to teach them those things at a young age so they do not fall into these traps. And so the devil is trying to say, like, it's okay to go through these things, and so you can have your own testimony. But that's not what God's word says. And so he's saying, Solomon is trying to get him to avoid and stay away from these things so he doesn't have to. Because if you don't go that path, then it saves you from a lot of wrong, and God can use so many years of your life. Amen. And so, you know, you have these things and these experiences that you go through, and if you go through all these negative things, it implants a memory into you. It plants different things that happen in your mind that are hard to erase. You know, as you know, the devil works on our mind. That's the fuel that he uses to get back at us. Now, those of us that were in the world, and then we come out of the world, and God begins to cleanse us by the washing of water, by the word. We begin to walk in that way, and God's trying to produce the mind of Christ in us. Right. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And that mind, Brother Bram says, that mind, if it's in the mind of Christ, it actually affects your character. It's the mind that pushes down and develops the character that you are. Amen. And so if you have the mind of Christ, it develops into the character of Christ. Amen. But you see, if you have those memories, and those of us know who are in the world, you go to some place, a shopping mall or some have you, and then you hear a song that harks back to the past, and, you know, songs are very powerful. Music is very powerful. That's why the devil uses it to attract the young people, right? And so there's this powerful spirit behind it. And so that's why, you know, you look at these concerts that Elvis had or different ones. Even today, these rock concerts, it's, you know, all these young people just praising the devil. They don't know they're praising the devil, but it's, you know, they're so excited about it and different things. And so it's very powerful. It captures them, right? But you can go into a place, and then it harks back to that, and your memory comes up. And so then, you know, your foot starts to tap, and then you begin to remember some things back to when you heard that song. And then you begin to dwell on that, and it takes your mind away from God. And then you begin to have a sensual pleasure. It begins to please the flesh, right? And then it occupies your mind for however long period. It could be days or weeks that it stays there. And so what it's trying to do is distract you from the focus of God. And so prevent you from producing the fruit of God. And so those memories are very powerful. But remember, Brother Bram says, if that memory is contrary to the word of God, cast it out. Amen. And so we don't want our children to go through those things so they have those memories. And so they'll struggle. And so, you know, a young person that gives their heart to the Lord at a young age, maybe 8, 9, 10, or 11 years old, and then gets on fire for the Lord, and then, you know, God calls, say, this young man, young boy to the ministry, all those years that God can use him for a specific purpose. Amen. And we know that Josiah was used for a purpose. He was 8 years old, and then God used him as a righteous king that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so he affected many generations, and he tore down so many things. He had a heart after God's own heart, just like David did. And, you know, other ones that are out there right now, like Brother Tim Pruitt, he began to minister at the age of 12 or 15 or something like that. He became a pastor, I think, as even a teenager, perhaps. And so God has used him in a mighty way. And so we want our children to be used in that way. And so we don't need them to go and have a testimony. You know, I believe in the Word of God and applying the token and applying our faith. And just like the jailer Paul said, you know, apply or have faith in Jesus Christ, and thou and thy household shall be saved. Amen. So we've got to hold on to the Word of God. Amen. But this young man, he did not obey the voice of his teachers, and he was holding with the cords of his sins. And, you know, if he continued on that path, he shall die without instruction, and he shall, you know, it'll lead all the way to destruction. Proverbs 7 continues on with this, and, you know, Brother Solomon is saying, could you keep my commandments, which the Word of God were the commandments? If we would just keep the commandments, if we would just follow God's Word, we would live. But we get enticed by the devil. And so this strange woman would entice with flattering words. And then it says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. So our young men, they're vulnerable. Because they haven't shaped their minds, they don't have the discernment in different things. And so we've got to teach them that you don't need to understand what the Word of God is. We just have to believe and obey the Word of God. But he was void of understanding. And so he stepped into the devil's ground. He was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And so she was working sneakily up to him, dressed in a way that would allure his senses. Subtle of heart, subtle meaning elusive, operating insidiously. And so he makes this statement, and you know it's in a parentheses, just annotating or noting something. She is loud and stubborn, showing some of the qualities of this type of woman. So young men or men that are coming up, if we're parents teaching our young men, you see these attributes, you stay away. Amen. Loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she's waiting for him. She caught him and kissed him. And so you know that a man, because of his natural senses, if a woman does this, it can really trap him, right? So the thing of it is that the man has to stay away from even getting close to this type of area. Keep thy foot from evil. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you, the scripture says. And so he should not even be in this situation. We should not ever flirt. And we know that if we're able to get to, when we talk about Samson, he was flirting with the devil. And so he was stepping on the devil's ground. And so he was in this. Now the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And so if there is a young man or a young sister that tries to get you alone, that in itself should set off red flags. Okay? Now getting alone these days can, because the devil's very slick, he can use phones in ways that we never imagined to today. Because they don't even actually have to meet. They can use a phone in so many different ways that can bring a man down in so many ways. Now, when I say that, you know, the phone, the voice, they can talk for hours, right? And so we know that the devil had his way with Eve because he was able to get her to a certain position where she was away from her husband. And so Adam represented the Word of God because he was a son of God. And so when she was out on her alone, then the devil was able to talk to her, right? He was able to influence her. He was able to get into her mind in different things. And so then he began to work in the mind, and then eventually by working in the mind, then he was able to get her in the physical realm. And so Brother Branham says that, but you can't fall unless you first in your mind put aside the Word of God. And so perhaps a man gets tempted by a woman and the scripture comes into his mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And so in order for him to proceed, he must set aside that word. And so that physical realm is so powerful, right? And then he knows that this is right. Many of our children know what's right, but then they step aside from the Word of God because they choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we've got to remember that the influence and what you're around, it's so powerful and affects you, and you can fall. And we're going to get into that. I'm just trying not to get ahead too much. And so he stepped in that ground. Now, so she allures through all these different things, peace offerings, and how she decorates her bed, perfumes and different things, and come, let us make love and different things. With her fair speech, she caused him to yield. So she didn't have to use force, like as in physical force, but she used her way of talking to disarm him, caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And so flattering means excessively or insincerely complimentary. And so that is a weapon of the devil. That, have you ever been around somebody that was trying to flatter you? And many of us, it's a weakness of ours. If we hear somebody giving us compliment or saying good things, then we start to look favorably at that person. And then we want to actually listen to what that person has to say. And that's a trick of the devil that the devil used many times. Oh, maybe the serpent said, oh, you're such a beautiful woman. God made you for this and different things. And so it appeals to that. And so then he's able to that talk to disarm. He goeth after straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. And so a man can lose his mind. Are we understanding? Brothers, understand this. I know you do. But a woman can work on a man such in a way that he can lose his mind. And maybe some of us were in the world before, and we might have had a girlfriend, and they made us crazy about them, that we would just forget about everything, right? And that's the effect that a woman could have, that they will go so crazy, they will forget everything, the things that they were taught, the Word of God, and so forth, and just go like an ox going to the slaughter. And ox going to the slaughter, the ox is not even thinking, right? Just going, oh. And that's how a woman can just wrap a person around their finger and pull them along. Till a dart strike his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not it is for his life. And so we're speaking of the natural here, but we're also speaking of the spiritual. So that spirit can work in amongst us here in the body of Christ. And no doubt it is actually. And so we cannot be blind that the Spirit is working amongst us. You know, there are people, and I'm not saying their soul is going to hell, because we cannot judge who is going to hell or to heaven, but the devil has them under an influence. Just like Eve was under an influence. She was from Adam, a part of Adam, but then she was corrupted and used of the devil to bring down Adam and to bring down nature. And so a person can be used in that way, and they can be used as a liar, because that's a devil. When they're under the influence of the devil, they become a liar. They become deceitful. And we see it in politics, of course. So she has cast down many wounded, and many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Amen. Are we together? Are we getting the point here? So you see, I'm just going to bring a couple examples as we have time, but we know that there are different characters in the Bible that actually showed this. Besides Eve, we know that Jezebel was one of them. We know that Delilah was one of them. And we're just going to delve a little bit into what Brother Branham has to enlighten our eyes. And so we have the scriptures, and the message just kind of expounds on what the scriptures, so that we can understand it more clearly as it applies to us today. So Ahab, talking about Ahab, Now, he wasn't very solid as a man, but he says his marriage got him all messed up with a little woman, which was a little princess, a king's daughter, a Jezebel. Very pretty to look at, very beautiful woman. But in her heart, she was wicked. Now, we know that Ahab was a little bit of a borderline believer, but as we can see later on in the quotes, that he says that Ahab was actually a decent guy, and he wanted to do the right thing, but it was this woman that had control of him. And so because she, with her big blue eyes or whatever color eyes were blinking at him and her beautiful face, she caught his attention, and therefore he went for beauty rather than character. And when a man starts to get married, the type of girl, woman, it's more than just look at beauty. You've got to get somebody, both soul and body, joined together. Somebody that's really going to be your friend and pal that'll stick with you through thick and thin. Look at the things that you cannot see, because that's what God operates in. The character, the faith, and the different qualities in a person, not the physical beauty. Now, but Ahab, he just fell for her because she was pretty. I suppose that Mary, it couldn't be nothing else about her because of wicked as she was. And so if we're falling into this trap that we're going to be joined together, remember, what you join together, that's what you become. And so we have to see what is leading us to, and be careful what we're joined to, because God will destroy it if you join yourself to it. We know that's what happened to Israel when they joined themselves with Moab in the Feast of Baal Peor because of the attractive women. And they lured the sons of God over to them and joined themselves, and God could not stand it, and so he destroyed Israel. God does not want mixers, he wants separators. Now, Ahab was pretty good sort of a fellow. He wanted to repent. But Jezebel, he was married to her, and he couldn't do it. She was the neck that turned the head. So I hear that expression sometimes, and it's not good. So they say, I'm the wife, and I'm the neck. This is where that came from. So do not ever say that if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian. This nation is whole like Israel, talking about America. They, Israel, come into Palestine, drove out the occupants, and took the land. They had some good men over them. They had David, Solomon, great men. They got an Ahab down there that married a heathen. Now, Ahab was a pretty good fellow, wanted to do right. But he couldn't do right for that woman of his. And so that type of woman can be very controlling. Remember we said loud and stubborn. But he couldn't do it because of this woman. He might be a good man, but it's a system. Now he's talking about President Kennedy at the time. He might be a good man, but it's that system of that harlot behind him that twists his neck. And so we know that Brother Branham spoke well of Kennedy. He said he was a good man, probably would make a good president. But it's that system behind him that he's opening the door to enter into the government. And then Brother Branham says that that Catholic spirit, that dominating female spirit, would worm its way into the cabinet, into the government, and we know that's taking place right now. And so there's so many things that are happening behind the scenes, because you're just getting a taste of it, the deceit that the devil works through. And so we cannot see all the things that are going on behind the scenes of the politics and different things and how the Catholic Church is tied right with it. Jezebel controlled Ahab. Now, Ahab was no bad guy. He was just a lukewarm, backslidden Israelite that let his wife lead him around. She was the neck that turned the head. And so he says, and that's the same thing we got here in this United States. Certainly, I don't say our president so-and-so, he might be a good man, but it's that old system behind it. That's what's doing it. And so the same thing about the deception about Russia, remember in the 60s and so forth, everybody was focused on communism and Russia. And Brother Branham says, don't watch Russia, watch the Catholic Church. Watch that spirit of the Antichrist, that watch that denominational system. And that's why Brother Branham was speaking so much against that system, Because it's the same Jezebel spirit, the same spirit that we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 5 and 7, the same spirit that worked in the Garden of Eden, it's the same spirit that worked in the Ephesus church age. And so he always spoke against that. You notice two big things that Brother Branham always spoke against. He spoke against the denominational system. And he spoke against these women, these immoral women. It's because both of them are the roots of very sin and roots of the devil. Look, whatever environment you live in, that's what you are. You take a little bitty girl, a little bitty boy, put them out there, here. Let them live with somebody. You take a man, I can take a boy. Let him be out for a day with somebody. Let me come in. I can always tell you who he's been with. And so parents, we've seen this before, and that's why we try to limit who our children interact with and watch over that, because they begin to take on that spirit of those around them. So if we're a parent that just lets them go, watch whatever, and be with whoever, that's wrong. Because the devil is like a roaring lion to see whom he may devour, and he's after the little children because they don't have the discernment, they don't have the judgment, they're very vulnerable, and you know that he's getting to the younger and younger ages. Watch that environment. That spirit catches him. You go into a church where the people all, you go into Holy Ghost churches or Pentecostal churches, they call it. Let everybody be, they run and jerk their head back and forth. The pastor does. So they take on that same kind of spirit. And it may not be the Holy Spirit. Let the men, the people, get up and just carry on, terrible and something another. Watch the whole thing do that. Get into a place where the pastor is real starchy and cold. Watch the whole group do it. You come into that environment. And so that speaks of how a pastor can affect the whole congregation. So it speaks that if you have a God-called pastor that's doing the right thing, how much that can affect the congregation in a positive way. How much, if a godly father is in charge of that home, how much that can affect the children of that home and that home going the right way. And so we have to see that it's the environment that's affecting, an environment that influences them. You take a man that's a good moral man and let him marry a little old woman that ain't worth a dime, it isn't long till he ain't worth a dime either. So you think, I'm just going to marry, I'm a good person, I'm Christian, I'm just going to help convert this person by marrying him. No. He says, an unbeliever shall not marry a believer. That's what Brother Branham told us. And the scripture speaks of that. How could I go this morning and point my hands on little broken up homes and things like that where lovely little mothers come into a drinking dad? Lovely little mothers come into a drinking dad and things like that and thought they could do something with him. And now the whole mother and all of them is drinking and going on. And so it's a nice thought, and the devil uses that reasoning thought to say that you're a Christian, you can help this person, poor little person. But you see, what you join yourself to, is that's what you become. Helping somebody is different than marriage altogether. So speaking of Samson, we got just very little time here. So he parallels Samson and the church here. Samson, great deal, like the church, started off right. He started off in the right direction. He started off and called a mighty man of valor. He started out serving the Lord and keeping his words and doing his commandments. So Samson started off on the right foot. He was following the word of God. And then something happened for God. Now I'm going to the second paragraph. For God can keep anyone and use anyone that will follow after him, for it's God's business. So God gave his word, and that's the only thing that he gave us to follow is his word. And so if we follow that, then we're just going to be fine. But you see, when we turn aside or set aside the word of God, just like Eve did, then that's when all the trouble happens. And God's not responsible for it because he set those things. He gave us the decision ability to do right and wrong, and that's always setting before us. But when we turn aside away from the things of God, then God cannot use us any longer. Then we'll walk steadfastly after the commandments of God, when we'll stay in the pages of the Bible and worship by the written word. Worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to hurry here. Samson makes a very outstanding representation of the church of today. When the church started, God could use the church, for the church walked diligently after the commandments of the Lord. We're speaking back to the original faith, right? Because the original church, the Ephesian church, lost their first love of the word. And so when we begin to lose our love for the word, that's when we go astray from the word of God, and that's what the first church did. And so that's why Paul was so adamant about staying on the word of God. When the church started, God could use the church, for the church walked diligently. Okay, now, I'm going to kind of skim through these a little bit, but as we talked about in the beginning, we are in a battle. We should not be afraid to fight in this battle. And so as I said in the beginning, we were born to cut demons' heads off. We are born to kill demons. And so we as children of God, as long as we are staying in the word of God, that word of God builds us courage, and we have assurance because we're standing on something steadfast and sure. And so we're standing on that, then we have no fear of what the devil's going to do. The devil may try to scare us and say, well, this person's going to get mad. This person's going to say this about you. This person's going to do this. So what? Because the Bible says to fear God, not man. So I don't, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not fear man. They feared God, even though the devil was putting the flames. No doubt they could feel the flames, but still they trusted in God. And so that is the faith of the hour that God is bringing us to. But we've got to stay with the unadulterated word of God. You see, because Samson, he gave up the secret of his strength. Where is the strength? Where is the power? It's in the word. And so when he compromised on that word and said, this is where my power lies, is in my hair, the command was given to Samson to keep that word. But when he broke that word, then he lost the power. And so Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. So do your fathers. Because they departed away, they did not believe the word of God, just like the Israelites. But see, Stephen, he held to that. He stayed full of the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the word of God. And by that word of God, there's power. So Adam and Eve, they had power as long as they stayed behind that word. You and I have power as long as we stay behind that word. But we've got to stay away from reasoning, all these other things, as powerful as they may be, and stand by the word of God. Don't even entertain a thought of the devil. By God's grace, one of these days we're going to get into the greatest battle ever fought in the spoken word's original seed, where he talks about the mind and how the devil works in all these different avenues. That is a hard thing. You know, the battle's always in the mind. It's not anywhere else. It's in the mind. But if you make the right decisions in your mind, you can always keep the devil off of you. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for thy word, O Lord. Lord, continue to wash us with thy word, O Father. Let us keep it as a centerpiece, for thy word is truth. Thy word is who you are, O Father. And Lord Jesus, help us to stay steadfast. Help us to cling to you. We know the influence is going to try to pull us away from the word. We saw in that quote on the preview of the bride, how those two or three that were falling out of line, they were looking at that other church. And so the temptation is to look at that other church, look at other people and what they're doing and the social things and what have you. And that was how the Israelites began to want a king and different things, and that was pulling away from the word, O Father. Lord, it doesn't matter how popular we are, O Father. It doesn't matter the numbers that we have joined with us. All that matters is you, O Father, and that word. And Lord, let us ever stay true, O Father, and cling to it, O Father, and not listen to the lies of the devil, because he's a liar. He's always trying to deceive, O Lord Jesus. Help us, dear Father, as we move on. Bless the service that's coming, O Lord Jesus. Use your servant, O Lord, to speak the words of life, O Father. Lord, to expose the devil, to expose the enemy in his lies, O Father, to deliver your people and keep them clean, O Father, and keep them under the power of the Holy Ghost, we ask. We love you and thank you, O Lord Jesus. These things we ask in thy name. Amen.